Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. My name is Chuck, resident member of the Garrison Division, and I can't even trust those around me anymore. And my co-host...
It's your girl, Mikasa, your resident badass, and I'm losing my shit this week because I'm saving the enemy. And you're listening to another week of Black on Titan. So, what were your predictions last week?
My predictions from last week. Well, I think I predicted. It was about Zeke, and we got back to Zeke. We found out.
We started with Zeke.
Yeah, we started with Zeke. We kind of ended with Zeke, and it was about time that we found out how all of the little.
Villagers.
Well, not just that, because we knew Zeke was behind that, but it's about time we just found out that, like, how it actually works.
The method.
Like, I'm glad that we found out about the little gas attack in conjunction with the yell of the coordinates. Mm-hmm. So, because, you know, back when they were dropping Titan bombs on the Mideast Alliance, I was curious about how that was going down. So I am glad we got back to that and got to peek inside of Zeke's head a little bit. How about you? How'd your predictions go?
My predictions were that I wanted to see Levi, and I did, even though he was, you know, not in the best frame of mind with this episode.
No, he was not.
I mean, but... Understandable, right? But we'll discuss that later. But yeah, my predictions were I just wanted to see Levi because I missed my little petite prince, and we got to see him again. So yeah, that was my only prediction.
So what'd you think of the episode?
The episode I thought was normal. I was like, okay, you know, this is a good backstory. This is great. And then we get to the end, and I'm just like, wait, what? And I wasn't prepared for that. And I was just like, okay, this is where things are turning lefter. So.
Yeah. I don't know. This episode, it made me feel really conflicted. Because it had me rooting for Gabby at points. Mm-hmm. And it had me rooting for people to not do things to Gabby that I've wanted done to Gabby since, like, episode 5.
You were the biggest kill Gabby advocate.
I know. And
after now, you said Gabby was your girl at the beginning of the season.
She killed.
She takes you through a lot of emotions.
She killed. My favorite scout. Like, you drop some rankings when you do that. Mm-hmm. But, like, I understand how Niccolo felt, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And I know I was part of the Kill Gabby Brigade, but this is, like, seeing her confronted with death and seeing how it was about to play out, I just didn't want them to kill her.
It was conflicting.
Like, I didn't want Mr. Brouse to do that. Like, that didn't seem his character.
Exactly. That's why you let Niccolo do it. He said he was gonna do it. He said, let me do it. If you don't want to. I don't see how she ended up alive after that. But we can get into that. Are you ready to get into the review?
Yeah, let's get into this episode.
So, this episode starts off in a little sleepy town called Ragako, formerly the home of Connie and family and friends that Zeke used as a freaking experiment to test out his biohazardous war weapon.
The mustard gas looking like.
Right. Agent Orange, his version of Agent Gorilla, brought on these people. And it's so weird because, like, looking at that, you know, like, even that door in the first scene, that's, like, where Sasha rescued Kaya, it looks like. And so this is just all really hitting home this episode, because Connie always wanted to know, you know, how this happened. Like, you know, he knew that this was his mom, but no one still, you know, had any insight on how Zeke actually turned these people into Titans. And, you know, Levi's asking him these questions, and he's like, I already told you guys this already. And Zeke, obviously, you know, has his story laid out for everybody. And I'm pretty sure he's been rehearsing this story for years at this point. So, you know, everything could go over smoothly because, you know, our team on Parody is, they're newborns in this game of politics. And so Zeke has an upper hand on them for, you know, a lot of things political-wise. And so he's been playing a mental warfare game long before he got on this island. And so, you know, Levi is really starting to put the pieces together. And, you know, I think he's so used to just being like...
right all the time?
No, not even that, but just like his position. He's usually like, you know, the person to take care of things, like an executioner, you know, the person that gets the job done, but not necessarily the person that has to think about all the behind the scenes stuff like Hanji does. So I think Levi being put in a situation where, you know, he's questioning, well, that's later on, but you can tell that he's starting to question a lot of things. And I think that's just taking him out of his comfort zone, because, you know, things usually come pretty quickly to him. He sees things, I feel like he sees a lot of things ahead of time. But I feel like this was something he was not actually able to see. And so because of that, I think this is something that's like, he's getting irritated now.
Yeah, I think, like, his frustration is very visible. But, like, what hit home to me, because he's always cared about everybody, but what really hit home was when he's admonishing Zeke, because Zeke really didn't care about, like, he's talking so casually about turning this whole town into mindless Titans. And Levi was like, you don't give a singular fuck. Like, you're just sitting here talking to me, and you're not even acting like you care at all. So just seeing that side of Levi and seeing that come out more throughout the episode was really a lot for me. Definitely. So after Levi and Zeke have their little heart to heart about everything that's going on in Zeke's powers, we get to see the Brouse family and all the little orphans pull up to Niccolo's restaurant.
What? The little orphan.
App description.
Okay.
And then when they pull up, Ben and Mia are acting very weird about everything going on. And Gabby goes and she asks Kaya, like, what's, like, are, is there really a Marleyan that's working there? And they're getting all worked up and riled up about that. And so that's when they come in and Niccolo's just waiting for them. And he's waiting for everything else. He's waiting to cook for them and gets to meet the whole family. And that's when Falco and Gabby, well, recant. That's when Falco is able to piece together what's going on and who Niccolo is to the family. Because they ask, like, why they even got invited to come to the restaurant. And when Kaya tells them that the woman that saved her was the daughter of Mr. Brouse, and that she got killed, Falco, you know that the guy when he's like, hey, is you smart? And he asks his kids. Falco, he would have been smart, because he would have got it. Because when Kaya tells them, Falco, he's not hungry, anything like that. But then after she does, he has this whole realization, and Gabby just is going about her day.
And, you know, I was wondering why he gasped, and I didn't know if it was, like, you know, related to Marleyan and Eldian relationships, or, and I was just like, that wouldn't make sense, because Falco doesn't really have that much attachment to, you know, that kind of relationship.
Right.
But now that you're mentioning that, that makes a lot more sense that he picked up on it at that point. And that's makes it easier for him to tell her to be quiet when they're down in the wine cellar. Okay. I thought he picked it up then.
No, I feel like when he...
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Down in the wine cellar, I feel like he had picked it up then. Mm-hmm. But down in the wine cellar is when he realized just how wrong Gabby was in thinking that this guy would help them after she did that.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And that's why, you know, he... Mm-hmm. Tried to stop. Gabby's so stupid. Gabby is so dumb.
She's 12. We have to keep saying that.
Falco's 12 too.
True.
But so after that, it cuts to the scouts pulling up on Niccolo, and they're coming to talk to Niccolo about the same thing.
And that's also the same guy who met Niccolo when, you know, they were first had the wine bottle and Niccolo went down to the cellar a few episodes ago. That was also the guy that he was meeting then. Yeah,
the guy that was listening to them talk bad about Historia. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So, yeah. That so many snakes are in the grass. Like this, but the grass is so tall, can't even see them.
I love that part where a young Capone was like, they want to know if we got anything to do with this. Let these folks know we ain't got nothing to do with this. Like, he at every point, he's trying to clear his name. Like, look, I ain't had nothing to do with this.
Listen, I know this is a different universe, but black people know what it's like to be persecuted by the cops, okay? Mm-hmm. And most of the time, you see like on First 48, if they get brought in there and they innocent, what they trying to do? Shoot, if they guilty, what they trying to do? I did not do it. They trying to give, like, it takes no time to start snitching. Like, because when, even later, when he found out about the wine, and Ian Capone was like, no, I ain't know nothing about it.
He did. He made that perfect. This is my first time hearing anything like this.
Like, what?
She tell me shit.
Yana did what? Nah, bro. But it was really, it's real funny because when the scouts pull up, Niccolo, they're, you know, they interrupt Niccolo showing cooking for the Browse family. And Niccolo takes that seriously. So he's like, I'm busy with some customers. Like, mm-hmm. I ain't really got time to talk to y'all. Y'all can sit in this little fancy room, though. So Connie and Jean get into the wine. And when they get into the wine, Niccolo freaks out. He's like, hey, don't touch that. Don't touch that wine. Because they've heard all about this great, you know, special tasting wine that's reserved just for the higher ups.
Which they technically are higher ups.
As they point out. Like, we're higher ups than the scouts.
Like, just because we're not MPs don't mean we're not higher ups. The life expectancy is just a lot shorter for their higher ups.
So, but Niccolo.
Yeah, Niccolo gets racist.
Yo, he gets very racist. Because Niccolo tells them that him being a captive of theirs makes him equal to them because they're aliens. Like, really? Like, that's just...
Well, I took it as more like when he said, when he's like essentially, he didn't say like you're a captive too or something like along those lines, where I thought he was meaning like, you think I'm a captive? Just wait until Marley get here. Now you're going to be the captive. Like,
see, I don't know. I didn't take it like that. I was just taking it as, because you know how like everything's more like a caste system in this? I was taking it as the caste that he felt he was in was equal to their caste because they're...
Aliens.
Yeah, because they're devils and whatnot. So that's how I was thinking. That's how I was thinking of it. But then, because I kind of question, like, I asked you last week, but we didn't never really got into it. But whose side, after this episode, whose side do you think Niccolo's on?
I don't think Niccolo's on a side, technically. I think he's more of like, I just want to get out of this alive and just cook. Like, and I honestly think ever since Sasha was killed, he doesn't really have much of a, as much of a purpose as he did. Because, you know, he realized how much he loved to cook. He said that. And I think, like, the person that enjoyed his cooking the most, not being there to celebrate him, has, you know, dampened what he's been there for. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, he was playing a game with Yelena with, you know, the wine, but he didn't know much. And so, you know, he knew that it possibly could be spinal fluid in here, but he didn't really ask too many questions. And, you know, he really didn't want to get that much involved. And I think he was just trying to play the game just to be safe and, you know, I can die. If I go back to Marley, I'm going to die. If I step out of line here, I'm going to die. So I think, you know, he was just really trying to do what he could to survive.
I get that. I definitely get that. But, yeah, after he storms out on the scouts, we go back to the Brouse family enjoying dinner.
Yeah, after he runs with the wine bottle, very suspiciously.
I mean, turns out he was protecting them.
Right. So he runs out and goes down to the wine cellar where Gabby sees him and tells Falco to fake like he's sick. And then she goes to fake help him while he has to go to the restaurant. Does he get an Oscar for that one? he definitely was not that good of an actor. But they follow Niccolo down into the cellar. And Niccolo's like, the restroom isn't here. And they start to tell him how they are Marley and Warrior Kennedy.
It's not even they. Gabby gets stupid excited.
She did. And, like, immediately blows her cover. And, you know, they start talking about plans and stuff. And then that's when Gabby, you know, he asked her, did you kill a female soldier? And she was like, hell yeah, I killed a couple of them. But that's not enough.
I killed we a got soldier, more. A guard, who knows right. Who else she killed off screen?
No, for real. And, you know, she really had no remorse for killing them because they're island devils. And then once Niccolo realizes that she's the person that killed Sasha, he loses his shit and tries to hit Gabby in the head with this wine bottle that Falco takes.
The closest thing he could reach. Like, you know, your mom just hit you with whatever as a kid. If you had that mom that did that, we don't support child abuse.
He did. Like, he picked the closest wine bottle up. But the fact that Falco continually puts himself in harm's way for Gabby, I don't understand.
I do. Like, you know how Mikasa always puts herself in harm's way for Eren, even when he's wrong?
But Mikasa also knows how to fight her way out of these situations. Falco just keep getting his ass whooped.
The emotional attachment. That's why. Because Falco just... And we don't know why Falco feels the way he does about Gabby. We just know that he's in love with her or whatever. But that emotional attachment is why I really think that he just is always going out on this limb. Like, you've seen that he was willing to try to make sure he became the armored titan just so she wouldn't have to do it, so she could live her life. So I just really think that that is the whole reason why he's willing to do all of that, and including getting hit upside the head.
I get all that. But she showed time and time again that she is still brainwashed. And so it's just like, why do you keep putting yourself in harm's way for somebody who obviously doesn't get it yet? And who's still a part of the machine.
You said yet. And I really feel like Falco wasn't as deep in as Gabby is ever. But I feel like Falco, especially after he became friends with Eren, especially after he's seen everything going on in Paradis, Falco has a totally different view of the Eldians than Gabby does, right? So I feel like he believes that eventually she can get there too.
Okay, whatever.
You sound so disappointed in her. Him.
I am. Like, I just want better for him. Like, stop choosing somebody who consistently chooses themselves.
Ooh, that's a word.
That, like, she has never went out of her way for him. Never. She always pushes him off and like, get away from me. You can leave. Like, they aren't on an unfamiliar island. Like, why wouldn't you try to cling to the person that came and helped you, you know? Or try to be supportive at least. But it's just like, she's constantly always going at it alone and trying to face these battles alone. And like, oh, but now you're like, oh, don't kill him. Kill me. I'm the one who did it. And, you know, it's just like Armin said, it's always kill, 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 kill. Like, come on. It's just like, they don't have any sense of peace. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little terrorists, child terrorist soldiers. And it's just like, you don't, your brain can't even comprehend anything else. Probably for the last 5 years, all you've been thinking about is kill, kill, kill. And you should have been thinking about dolls and playing hopscotch and shit, you know? It just doesn't, it's sad. It's fucked up.
Yeah, it really is.
But is that the scouts pull up? Okay, so after that, the kids come back upstairs. Niccolo brings the kids back upstairs and, you know, drops Gabby on the floor. And obviously, he got a couple more leaks in than the one that we saw because her face a little fucked up.
That we just saw the last thing she saw.
You're probably right. But, yeah, he definitely got a few licks in before he brought her upstairs. And, you know, Falco is bludgeoned with wine on his clothes. And, you know, Niccolo just doesn't care. He got a knife in his hand. And he's like, look, Mr. Browse, this is the little bitch that killed your daughter. You can kill her. I'm letting you have the first option. If you don't kill her, I'm gonna kill her. And, you know, everybody just like, what the fuck is going on?
Man, that snapped.
And, you know, he was just cooking some food. And next thing you know, you bringing the kids up from downstairs beat up. And everybody like, okay, wait. How you get these kids like this? And, I mean, I'm sure several questions were going through the Browse family mom. Because, you know, these kids are still going to the restroom. And next thing they come back, beat up. And so,
I mean, Niccolo answered them all.
True, true. I'm just saying, like, first reactions. Like, you got the one kid under your arm bleeding out, and the other kid beat the fuck up. It's just like, you know, you're like, what is going on? And then, like, to digest all the information about how this is the girl that killed your daughter, who's been living under your roof, who got your clothes on, who was eating your food. Like, all of those layers. It's just
a lot
to absorb in that small amount of time while this little boy bleeding out in this man's arms and he got a knife next to her throat. It's just that's a lot, you know, to happen in that small amount of time. And then Armin like, come here guys, get a load of this.
Oh my gosh, Armin, he's just always in the right place at the right time. Or the wrong place at the wrong time, depending on how you look at it.
More of the accurate description.
But after Niccolo was pretty much mid-explanation about why he had beat the kids up, Armin called the rest of the scouts over, and he's watching everything play out as Niccolo is explaining that to everybody that, you know, they look like kids, but these are stone cold killers. They're mm-hmm. Marlian soldiers. They're specially trained, and we need to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. And everybody's still trying to process what's going on. I'm sorry, but Niccolo offering Mr. Browse the knife is just kind of funny. Just a little bit, because Mr. Browse is just like, what the entire fuck? I came for dinner. Mm-hmm. And now you're telling me this is my daughter's murderer?
Right. They got their good clothes on and shit.
Sunday's best. They done gave the new orphans some Sunday clothes.
No, for real.
Like, Falco up here in a whole suit. Like, he just missing his parody bolo tie.
They got the starter bolo tie.
But, so, Niccolo's just going in and when Gabby shows any little bit of care for Falco, finally. He's like, yeah, I'm going to kill this man because you cared about him. And you took away the person who cared about me. Like, and he makes a point that she saved him from the war, which when she kind of made him realize how much he loves cooking. And that just seeing that when I think about who his alliances were towards, I kind of feel like when you say he has no alliances, like his only alliance is like to himself at this point. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a really good thing for his development. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think he's as racist as he was showing when he stole the wine. He was just trying to be from Connie and Jean. Mm-hmm. He was just trying to be convincing, you know?
Right.
So as he's going on and on his semi-murderous tirade, Mr. Brouse hits everybody in the room with the pump fake, and he asks Nicola for the knife. And I know Gabby, because Gabby, she still doesn't get it, because everybody on parody is nicer than Gabby is in her head. Mm-hmm. So she thinks that he's about to kill her. And Hanji, too, is like, hey, chill out. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't kill her. And he doesn't. Instead, he gives a Lean On Me-esque Uncle Phil save the day type of speech. Like, he gives a speech that he probably would have kept the kids off the corner and Boys of the Hood. And he tells about how Sasha was a hunter and she was always just out in the forest.
She stayed out in the forest too long. Like, what the fuck does that even mean?
She's out in the wild. Like, he's pretty much saying, keep your kids off the corner and our neighborhoods will be fine.
Yeah, and you can tell, like, he takes some kind of responsibility for Sasha's death. Because yeah. He is the one that, you know, encouraged her to go to the military and, you know, to make more of herself besides, you know, being a hunter-gatherer family and stuff. And so I think, you know, he's kind of taking responsibility, shoulder some responsibility himself on her death. And so it's like, you know, no more people should die from this. I don't want to be responsible for more people dying. So that's how I kind of, you know, looked at that part.
Yeah, I definitely did. It was really touching to me. Like, I really want to hear that part on the dub. Mm-hmm. Because I want to hear, I don't remember how he sounds for real. Because he was only there for, like, what, part of season one, really. Mm-hmm. But I really want to hear season two. Yeah, two. Like, he's only really had a couple of scenes up to this point. So I really want to hear how this speech sounds. But after he gives a speech, the rest of the scouts step in and intervene, because the scouts are really the real police of this realm. And Mikasa,
the real protectors.
Real protectors, yeah. Police is a bad word.
Yes.
Because, you know, police are irresponsible and the scouts... Minus.
ACAB.
We actually, some of the scouts do act like cops. But we'll get to that in a minute. Or at least, you know, the rogue ones. But the scouts do something the cops would never do. And they go and actually tend to the wounded. And there's two parts to this. Like, one real quick is when Kaya tries to stab Gabby. Because she found out that Gabby killed the woman that rescued her. And everything in that scene gets really emotional, because Kaya, up to this point, has been rooting for them heavily. She didn't really care that they were Marlins. And she just wanted them to be able to get back home and be safe. But when she found out that these people that she had treated as a friend killed her friend, that her friend that would never kill them, it really just tore at her.
And we had the opportunity and chose not to.
Like, Sasha was so kind-hearted. As for as much as she was in the forest, as her father said, she still had that moral compass to a degree that mm-hmm. he showed in that speech.
Because mm-hmm. if she would have shot her back on when she saw her, we wouldn't be in this situation, but we'd probably be in another one, so.
Actually, if she would have shot her back then, things might be just better off.
Well, we don't know. Like, you know what they say, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, because the writer hates us. But Mikasa saves Gabby's life. And
after Kaya was centimeters away from scalping her.
Ooh, so close. Like, that was a time, you know, and this might be wrong, and I don't condone childhood violence, but if Kaya would have killed Gabby, I'm not sure if I would have been as upset if Nicola would have killed Gabby.
I see that.
But,
I've been like, Lord of the Flies.
Yes. Very Lord of the Flies-esque. Oh my gosh, I hated that book.
Yeah, very stupid. like Heavyweights on the Island on steroids. But anyway.
All that over a pig. But Mikasa saves her. And that's one more time that the parody folk just continue to show compassion to this girl who killed somebody that everybody loves.
Time and time again. Because if they would have listened to Flock and threw her off the airship, who knows where we would be?
You know, who knows where Flock would be?
If we threw him off the airship.
Just let him hold her and just push them both off.
If they knew what they knew.
But the scouts take Gabby away and Niccolo comes clean about the wine. And he lets them know that the wine has Zeke's spinal fluid in it.
Well, he said he thinks. Just said, wash that boy mouth out. Yeah. He got wine in it. And then Hanji said, what's in the wine? And he said, shit, I think it's Zeke's spinal fluid.
Hey. Yeah, he did. He definitely thought it was Zeke's spinal fluid. And he gave a really great explanation as to why. Mm-hmm. Because there was so much wine, and I think they mentioned that earlier in the season that there was a lot of wine on that boat. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those things that I don't know, like when he mentioned it this time, I didn't think, I, you know, thought about it, but when it got mentioned earlier in the season, that was like one of those throwaway lines, I believe. Mm-hmm. And just seeing him explain the reasonings and then that they've given it to all the
MPs.
Yeah. To all the high-ranking MPs. And, oh my gosh. So, Yelena has been just on it from the beginning. Like, I know Anya Capone talked about how she was willing to go above and beyond and all that whatnot. But she has just done exceptionally far beyond what I thought that she was capable of. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then we get that little, you know, the little commercials where they explain everything, and they're talking about how the Marlians have this connection to wine in their food and the cuisine. I always find those to be so cool. Like last week they gave us the Jaegerist and whatnot. But after that, we get to go back out to Zeke and Levi finding out some information.
So yeah, we go back to Zeke and Levi, and one of the scouts come to Levi and let him know that they have news. And I, you know, was thinking that it was probably just letting them know that Aaron escaped, but then I realized that Levi doesn't know anything. And so he didn't know that Zachary was assassinated, that the Jaegerists have taken over the wall, everything within the walls, and that Aaron has escaped and is trying to find Zeke. And so there's just a lot of stuff that is going on. And, you know, Pyxis is letting everything happen. And so they're letting Levi, you know, that, you know, Pyxis is trying to negotiate with the Jaegerists per se. And, you know, they're in the Titan Forest right now. And honestly, I don't even know if it's safe to even talk around Zeke. Because who knows what abilities he has when he's in regular human form. So,
you think he could hear?
I don't doubt anything from Zeke, to say the least. But I, Levi was having a major crisis at this point because you see a lot of flashbacks of Levi saving Aaron. And, you know, he talks about how many comrades he's lost in the fight to save Aaron and just how many.
It's real. Like, he's lost all these comrades and they're in the forest. And that was the first time we've seen him lose. Mm-hmm. Like,
his whole
The Levi squad. Yeah. Yeah, his handpicked squad. And it's like, it's kind of funny how full circle that came. Mm-hmm. When you, like, because he's in those same trees where Annie just marked him.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, had to save Aaron from Annie that time. It's just a lot. And I know he's experiencing a lot right now, especially because, you know, it's just a lot of loss that's happened on his end. And, you know, he felt like it was all worth it because it was to protect humanity. Now he doesn't even realize what he's protecting anymore. At this point, he's protecting Aaron. And so, you know, he feels, I think, foolish and childish that he even took on this task in the first place.
See, yeah. But I kind of, like, I definitely feel for him. But also, the situation has changed. Because when he thought Aaron was, when he first thought Aaron was the hope for humanity or whatever, they were still fighting Titans. Mm-hmm. You know, they were still thinking that pretty much they were the world, and these Titans that were outside the walls were the only enemy they had to defeat. Mm-hmm. Now they're finding out that they are a country amongst many countries. Most of the countries are trying to kill them, and their biggest country that's trying to kill them, they have a turncoat from. So, like, I think part of me just wishes that he would also realize that he doesn't need to kick himself for this, because he had no idea what this could have became.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like he is that person that feels like he should have known, and he's blaming himself because he's just like, why couldn't I see the future? And it's just like, you know, you don't know how these things will play out, especially when you didn't even know what was in the basement was going to lead to this. So it's kind of sad for my boy. But that is when the scouts find out from Niccolo that, you know, he goes into more details about the wine, and he starts talking about how, you know, a lot of it was brought on the first scout fleet where Young Capone and Yelena were on that fleet, and it was way more than just what would be used for just one scouting mission, which led them to believe that, Nico to believe that it was probably Zeke's spinal fluid in this wine that they brought with them, because he was told to only serve this wine to the high-ranking officials. And, you know, he really tried not to get into it, and he just like, okay, I'll do whatever y'all need me to do, and, you know, I just want to cook for my girl, and that's it. And so, you know, John is like, were you trying to save us? And he's just like, shit, I don't even know what the fuck I'm trying to do at this point
anymore. I'm just fucked up in the head right now.
Yeah. And, you know, Hanji does bring up the point about how Zeke is the only one that saw what happens to people that drink his spinal fluid. So they honestly don't know what happens when somebody gets his spinal fluid. Like, is it in him forever? You know, if Zeke scream and you drunk the wine 6 months ago, are you still eligible to turn into a Titan? Like, there are several questions here.
Time out. On the topic of Zeke's spinal fluid, I know we was talking about this a little bit earlier, like, off pod. But how do you think that he just has so much spinal fluid at his ready disposal?
It's just really weird. Like, who's doing these spinal taps for him? Like, I have questions. And my most logical theory would be that he's tapping into the spinal fluid of the Beast Titan after he ejects himself from the body. That would be the most logical reason. But scientifically speaking, like, I need a few more answers.
He should be walking around, like, with the assistance of a cane.
He shouldn't be walking. He should be wheelchair bound. Because all the spinal fluid, it's like, do you even have spinal fluid left?
He's been doing this for
at least years. 10 years. Yeah, at least at this point. So, I need to know, like, how often does spinal fluid regenerate? How much of it is it? There's a lot of questions here that are not being answered, but I guess we're going to have to wait another season of the second part for it to get answered.
Yeah, that's definitely something to monitor in the future. That's a real curiosity. But after, while Niccolo has told everybody what's going on, Armin and Mikasa have taken Gabby off to a little side room, that way they could talk to her. And Gabby's like, why didn't y'all kill me? Like, don't y'all want to kill me? Like, I killed y'all comrade, I killed the guard, I'm the big bad around here. And Armin's like, no, I don't want to kill you. Like, kill, that's everything that somebody else that I know is focused on. And speak of the devil, and he will come. Because right after he says that, Aaron pulls up and crashes the party with a cut on his hand, ready to transform. And he just says he wants to talk. So as he's holding them hostage to talk to them, we go back to the dining room, and Flock and the rest of the Jaegerists have come in, and they're taking hostages. Because they want to know where Zeke's at. So Hanji and the rest of the scouts get tied up into this conversation with Flock. And in the midst of it, Flock reveals that they've been working with Yelena. And they're no longer negotiating. So to all of the disloyal people in the garrison squad, I hate you. Just getting that off my chest. But Flock is talking to the scouts, and he tells Hanji that they're not going to negotiate with the military anymore, because they don't trust Pixis, because they're pretty sure Pixis is up there trying to plan, because that's what Pixis does. He lets you think you're in control, and then he comes back in. No, you're not. So he says they're not negotiating with him anymore, and that Aaron is done with it, and Aaron's going along with Aaron's plan, and they're not going to take any chances of putting Aaron in trouble. And I do want to know how everybody just thinks that they're going to get somebody to eat Aaron. Like, that just doesn't sound feasible to me. But Flock lets it slip that he's working with, or at least he knows about Yelena's plans, because when Hanji mentions the wine and the spinal fluid, Flock is like, yeah, that means there'll just be more stupid MPs running around. But Hanji didn't say anything about the MPs. So when she points this out, he has this really, like, he gives her the silence finger, and he's like, haha, like, yes, I knew. And he just has this really creepy look on his face.
Very creepy.
And it's like, that is definite, like, Flock's villain origin story is a thing in and of itself. But he has went full 100% bad guy, and we always knew it was possible. Mm-hmm. But can you ever be disappointed in a character that you are routinely disappointed in? Because that's where I am with Flock. So
I think it's just you have to keep your expectations lower so they won't do anything else to have you have any higher or lower expectations for them.
Okay. Yeah. That makes about sense.
It's like dating men.
I don't always like to date men, but
be blessed.
But yeah, that pretty much after they take the scouts hostage, Flock lets Aaron know that he's moving out, and Aaron is sitting with Mikasa and Armin, and Gabby's in the room at the table too.
Shook.
Big shook, because you know she wants to. I'm gonna kill Aaron Yeager. Mm-hmm.
Aaron Yeager.
So Gabby, there are so many emotions going through that girl right now.
Because obviously she wants to kill him, but obviously she knows she can't.
Yeah.
Because he's ready to turn Titan at any moment.
Like he's already sitting there with his hand cut and
bleeding open.
Just the amount of control that the Titans can have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never would have thought that that was possible in the first couple of seasons when mm-hmm. seeing how the Titan Shifters acted. But, yeah, that's how we end the episode.
Yeah. Aaron wanting to talk while bleeding out.
That tablecloth turning crimson.
He don't give a fuck. But, yeah. So, that ends this hectic episode.
Don't trust nobody.
Nobody needs nobody.
Like, Niccolo couldn't trust his sidekick.
He said, what you don't know is Niccolo's the sidekick. He was the main character.
Dead ass. Because he was like, I knew you couldn't be trusted. You started...
You pussy.
You
started going soft.
Eldian lover.
Mm-hmm. Essentially is what he said. But yeah, so that is our review for the week.
So you want to get into the next segment?
Yeah, let's get into our new segment.
You can explain it.
Fan theories. So as I mentioned on a couple episodes, I'm obsessed with Black Clover. And so I've been watching a lot of Black Clover theory videos. And so I actually saw one video on Attack on Titan, and that kind of formed this theory. And so we are just giving our little fan theories on how this show might end or some things that are going to be revealed towards the end. So my theory was the baby that Historia is pregnant with is actually her and Aaron's baby.
So she was going to bust a challenge with Aaron.
Shut up. I think it's more strategic than like romantic.
So strategic, like the silhouette challenge?
Man. I think it's more so like this baby is involved in the plan of how Aaron wants to create society after the rumbling.
That's interesting. It's funny because my theory involves the baby too.
Okay.
But, if that is true, so do you think Historia is in on Aaron's plan? Like, mm-hmm. do you think she knows?
Mm-hmm.
That would be very interesting.
Because the video that I watched, they were talking about how Aaron and Historia have, you know, had moments of bonding over the last few seasons and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. you know how when he held Historia's hand at the end of the season,
we
you know, he saw the future and stuff like that, which people were saying, theorizing that because Aaron can see the future and the past, he knew that this had to happen in order to get the end result that they need, which would be like, hey, Historia, I can see the future. I need you to let me get you pregnant right quick so we can make this stuff happen. And Historia like, all right. okay. You know, she just want to be important and actually feel like she's doing something to make amends for her founding family issues. But
well, if he got her pregnant, then I'm pretty sure he's seen a whole lot of the future. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, with that process and how that touching goes. But it's funny because, oh my gosh, that gets a lot. That gets a lot into my theory, my fan theory, which my fan theory is about the whole time, flat time being a flat circle in the show. Mm-hmm. And with how Aaron is able to see the past and the future, I don't want to get out away from your theory, but my theory pretty much ends with the baby. Mm-hmm. If the Historia is pregnant with Aaron, or even if Historia, it didn't say that Aaron was, the theory I'm talking about, it didn't say that Aaron was necessarily
the baby's daddy.
Mm-hmm. But and I forget the YouTube guy who I got it from. But he was pretty much talking about how this could all be a time loop. Mm-hmm. And that since this has happened, since because, you know, how like the owl was able to talk about saving Armin and Mikasa back in the day. Mm-hmm. And this is a good 20 years before Armin and Mikasa or Aaron are even born. Mm-hmm. Like, so that pretty much, the fan theory is that this is happening over and over again. And if Historia gives birth to the baby, mm-hmm. that this baby, it's either the end of the time loop, mm-hmm. because the baby wasn't born in any of the other time loops, and that this baby can potentially have like some of the powers or whatever to end it, or that the baby would be Ymir, the first Ymir, mm-hmm. and that it pretty much starts the time loop over.
I got it like more so like the baby's Ymir reincarnated and ending the time loop.
Yeah, like I've seen it
both ways.
Well, in that theory it was explained kind of both ways. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that baby is going to be,
the baby holds weight.
Yeah. Literally. But yeah, like though a lot of the theories that I have seen, spoiler free theory. Well, okay, I avoided spoilers in the theories, or it was a spoiler that I already knew. But a lot of the theories that I have seen have revolved around the baby and how the baby plays a part into what they're doing. So, But if Aaron disappeared 10 months ago, right? Mm-hmm. How could Historia be pregnant with his baby?
Well, I also, in the video that I watched, they said that in Japan, they count pregnancy as 10 months and not 9, just because of the way their calendar is set up or something like that. So 10 months would be, like, you know how, you like, I left 9 months ago. You know, that's a clear indicator here in America, like, 9 months ago is a pregnancy. But 10 months is that in Japan.
So he got her pregnant and then dipped immediately. I'm for whatever his plan would be.
If you're putting it that way, sure.
Interesting. Want to wrap it up? Okay, so what about predictions for next week?
Well, next week's episode is titled Savagery. So, obviously, people are going to get fucked. And who? Like, I feel like people that we care about are going to get fucked. But I really don't know how. I know Flock's going to have something to do with it. And
bitch ass.
I think Aaron and Zeke are actually going to get to meet. And I think Levi's going to lose more people just based on the whole montage for his last episode and everything. I think this Levi is like bracing. People. Yeah, I think this is just bracing for another round of Levi losing people. For him to be like, okay, fuck Aaron.
I see. I kind of feel like he's already at that fuck Aaron stage. And like, if this is the tipping point for him, then so be it, you know? My prediction for next week more has to do with the round table of the big three. I feel like Aaron is going to tell Mikasa and Armin nothing that they want to hear.
I think he's going to confirm their fears, if anything.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not going to agree with him. They're going to be at a crossroads in their friendship after this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like Gabby is going to play a part in the discussion. I don't know how. I don't know what. But I feel like Gabby's going to be more important to the discussion than the three of them realize at that moment that the discussion starts. But yeah, I feel like that. Like, I know there's probably going to be some action that happens. And I feel like Flock. Flock is going to do some bullshit. I'm 90% sure. But I with all of that, I definitely feel like the conversation between Mikasa and Armin and Aaron featuring Gabby is going to be the biggest moment of next week.
Okay. So we have our predictions for next week. So is that everything?
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay, so where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Chuck_mate_. And if you can find me there, you can find me anywhere. How about you?
You can find me on Twitter at PrimaYana. And you can also subscribe to our podcast and rate it. And also tell your friends about it. We would really appreciate it. I know we only have a few more episodes left until we find out what the big reveal is for the second part of Attack on Titan. But please listen and tell others to listen. We really appreciate it. And you can also email us if you have any questions at blackontitanaot@gmail.com.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to another week of Black on Titan.